good? I'm not sure, by the way, you said that. God is good? All the time. Let's declare that. Let's really declare that God is good. We know that. And we believe that that we are keepers of the greatest news ever, right? That we have a profound responsibility to share that good news with everybody who's in shouting distance. And so sometime you're going to find yourself thinking, man, God is good. And I want to encourage you, just declare that out loud. You know, somebody around you might be like, really? And he opened a door for a conversation. God is good?
All the time.
All right, so this morning we're going to take a look at Colossians chapter 2. If you want to get your Bibles out and turn there with me, Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at a couple of verses, and we'll flip over as well to Ephesians chapter 2. So if you need a head start, you can find those two and mark those two out. While you're looking at that, I will just reaffirm the announcement that Matt just made. June 5th is just a day I would encourage you to put on your calendars, mark it out, say, I don't care what else I had going on. If I have to call in sick to work, whatever has to happen, I'm going to be here in the evening of June 5th. It's just going to be a great night. We do this training every year with all of the interns who come into the project as we begin to talk about race and racial reconciliation. And we just decided as a church leadership that it would be great to open that up to our entire body. And so we want to encourage you come, and there'll be some folks here who have some real thoughts and some studied opinions and knowledge on this topic, and they're going to share, and they'll share for about an hour, about five different people sharing for a total of about an hour, and then we'll have 30 minutes where we as a congregation and you as a body can kind of entertain questions, things that are provoked as a result of what you heard. Maybe you're trying to figure out, what do I do with this? How do I respond to this? You know, how do we help the church in terms of becoming a diverse community? You know, like asking all those kind of questions. And so those be some real things that come up. I hope, I pray, and I hope and pray that you would be here to be a part of it. We are also going to try to record that both audibly and record a visual as well. And so if we get those things recorded and recorded well, then we'll get them up on our web and make them available. If you come, you enjoy it, or if for some reason you can't be here, might be something you could check out on our web and then maybe share with some friends later on. This morning, I want to talk about growing in our faith, and the way I want to go about this morning is I want to ask you, how are you doing at growing? Not so much growing in your faith, but just how are you doing at growing? I was thinking about this yesterday. I got invited to be a part of something that was going on down in the city yesterday, and they had like 5 moon bounces out. And they had, you know, like there was a big kickball tournament for churches and people to come and play in. But these 5 moon bounces got my attention because I saw swarms of kids moving toward the moon bounces, from little to big alike. And so we were a divided family yesterday. Michelle was off doing some other things and celebrating somebody who's really special in our life. And so I had the kids, and I was at this festivity. And I knew, I figured this out pretty quickly, I knew that I was not going to be able to corral them all too long. I knew that the moon bounce was going to win. You know, it was going to get them sooner or later. So they had asked me to do some speaking, and so I was on the microphone doing some speaking. I looked out the corner of my eye, and I saw it happening. I saw it. She was climbing. She was climbing really, really high on this moon bounce slide. And so she got all the way to the top. And then she realized how high up she was. And she realized that there was no way down except down. And with fear and trembling, she stood there and looked over the edge. Now, a couple of years ago, maybe even just a year ago, she couldn't have done this. She wasn't big enough to make her way. The rungs on the ladder were too far apart. But now, she had grown a little bit. She could test it out. And so as she stood there and peered over the edge, what she did not take into account was just how heavy a Garcia head is, and she leaned forward a little too far. You know what I'm saying? And down came Cadence, right? Straight down, got to the bottom. She was screaming, and she wasn't sure if she was screaming because she was hurt. She was checking. She seemed like she was all still there. Or if she was scared, for sure she was. Or if she was just filled with a thrill that she wanted to do it again. But I was too far away to do anything about it, so I was like, I'm just glad you grew up. Glad you grew up. Had a similar experience just a week ago. We were down at the beach, and what a great time away we had. And when we were driving down, we looked at each other and we said, you know, this is just super relaxing. It's going to be great. We went to the beach the first day we were there and got out there. And no sooner did we get to the sand and Tommy went a-running unabashed right into the ocean. He was overcome by water. The dolphins brought him. No, I'm just kidding. So he ran right into the ocean and just, you know, like overcome by the little waves that come in. And he was not afraid of the water. And we realized that from just the course of a year, he had grown up. Because a year ago, we dug a hole in the sand and we sat him there. And we came back like an hour later, he was still there. You know, like this, some things had changed. Some things just naturally, he was growing up. How you doing it growing up? How you doing it growing up? It's fun to ask this question today with all the new yellows here with us, because some of the yellows are returning, right? And some of you looked around, you were like, wow, you look familiar. I remember you. Matter of fact, when the yellows were showing up, the cars were pulling in, and in the one car was one of our returners. His name is Adam. But if you remember Adam from last year, he was clean cut and short haired, and man, he just looked like he came out of a magazine. This year, he ran away from the razor, and it's grown in, and the hair is long. He looks like Matt. He looks like Matt. We were like, wow, he's grown up. He's grown up. We all grow up. It's inevitable, actually. No matter what you do in effort to stop it from happening, Father Time wins every time. Father Time wins every time. Ask Kobe Bryant. Anybody who's a basketball fan, ask Kobe Bryant. Like, he played for a long, long time in the NBA, but sooner or later, Father Time was going to catch up. He grew out of it. His body couldn't keep up with it. He had matured to the point where he was no longer a competitive basketball player. We all grow up. It doesn't matter what happens. We grow up. The question is, do we internally keep up with that growth? And today, for our purposes, are we spiritually growing at the same rate or faster than we are physically? I want you to think about that as we look at the scripture this morning. Because I also believe this. I believe that when we surrender our life to Jesus, when we give over control, we are not meant to be babes forever. We are meant to grow up. We are meant to mature. And so Paul is going to give us a little bit of direction in what that maturation looks like. And he says this. I'm in chapter 2 of Colossians, verses 6 and 7. He says, so then, just as you received Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. Be rooted and built up in him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Be rooted and built up in Jesus. Be strengthened in your faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Believing in Jesus is indeed the first step toward being established in our standing with God. Salvation brings about a new work. That new work is something new within you, within me, within anyone who has professed their faith in the Lord. It is an eternal promise, and it's an invitation received and acknowledged. But believing is simply the entry point into a life that is defined on this earth and a life that is yet defined eternally. How are you doing at growing up? That was my transition. How are you doing at growing up? At maturing into the life that is defined on this earth, but also that is yet defined eternally. How are you doing at stepping into a relationship with Christ that is cementing you, that is planting you, that is deep rooting you into the life that he has for you, not just the life that you commonly live? Go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 2 with me. We're going to look at the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2. If you turn there and you're new to our church, sometimes when we turn there, we'll shout out amen so we know that you're ready. Amen. And sometimes if we're a little slower on the page turning, that's okay. We just say, I need more time. Anybody? All right, always quiet on that one. All right, here you go. The first 10 verses, this is what it says. It says, as for you, you were dead in transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 3, all of us lived among them at one time. We gratified the cravings of our flesh and the following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in his mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. Let me say that again. It is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with him, with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. Underline this in your Bible. Note this. Write it down somewhere so you'll remember it. Verse 8 says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Let me say that again. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Grace and faith are unearned gifts that God has given us, and gifts that make Christians, that make Christian growth a normal part of our daily experience. Let me say that again. Grace and faith are unearned gifts that God gives us, but they are gifts that make a reality of Christian growth. If we're not growing in the Lord, it's something tied to, or maybe better said, it's there's some disconnection between the reception of the gift that the Lord has given us of grace and faith, the application of an understanding of what God has done. If we're not walking in a way that changes the reality of who we are, it's something about a disconnect between ourselves and the one who has given us the knowledge of that reality. This morning, I want to ask you, are you ready to grow? I'm not asking you that so you'll shout out yes out loud, though I would have really enjoyed somebody doing that. Let's try again. This morning, I want to ask you, are you ready to grow? Oh, that's cool. I'm not asking you so you'll shout it out, but I'm glad somebody did. So that's awesome. But I do want to ask that question with some seriousness to it. Like, are you ready to grow? Now, this time I don't want you to shout out the answer. I want you to internalize your thought, right? Your mouth wanted to say yes because in part that's what sounds like it should be said when we're here.
Yes.
But what about your heart? Did your heart want to say yes as quick as your mouth did? What about your hands? What about the things you put your hands to? Does that want to say yes as quick as your mouth does? What about the pattern of life? Does that communicate yes as loud as our voice does? Are you ready to grow? Imagine this with me. Don't just think about our church. Think about the large church, capital C. For those who are unfamiliar here, let me just quickly explain. When we talk about a local church, we talk about that as a small C. There's a lot of small C's. Matter of fact, if you just go down the ridge, there's one on almost every corner. Now, if you put them all together, all the churches, not just in our city, not just in our state, not just in our nation, but across the globe, all the churches that declare Jesus Christ as Lord, that is the only heading. It is not a denominational heading. It is not a male heading or a female heading. It is not a liberal heading. It is not a conservative heading. It is simply all the churches across the world that declare Jesus Christ as Lord, the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. All the churches that would declare that to be true. That's the big C. That's the big C. So now I'm going to talk to you about the big C. The big C. Imagine this with me. Go ahead. We're late in the morning, so we're okay. Go ahead and close your eyes for a minute so you can really imagine this. So you're not distracted by your neighbor. Not distracted. There you go. All right, there you go. So there you go. If maybe you imagine with your eyes open, that's okay. But imagine this with me. The church, big C, filled with people, with Christians that are growing regularly. Not spurting, that are growing steadily. The way a stream moves downward. Yeah, there's a couple moments when the stream picks up some speed, but as a whole, it just constantly flows down. Imagine that the spiritual growth of the Big C Church was constantly flowing like that. You can open your eyes back up so you don't get too comfortable falling asleep. But what did it look like? Let's talk out loud for a minute. Let's be that church that responds. You ready? What did it look like when you closed your eyes? Don't tell me about the color of the inside of your eyelids. But what did it look like when you closed your eyes? When you imagine the church that was just steadily growing, what did you see? I heard a voice, but I didn't see a face. World change. So, all right, she saw the whole world, just the reality that the church impacted the world around it. That's awesome. What did it look like? What did you see? You saw earth. It was here. It was present. It wasn't some kind of crazy idea out there. It was a reality around us. That was Kasi. Kasi. All right. Kasi said, love. That's a lot to unpack, but I like the word, so I appreciate you saying that.
Saw growth.
So you saw growth being... Oh, I like it. I like it. So the small body growing into a larger body. I like that. Okay. What did you see?
Rainbow.
Oh, all right. So you saw the salt being sprinkled. Is that what you said? Salt? Salt of the earth. Yeah, I like what you're doing. I see where you're going here.
Standing room only in church.
So you literally saw the body gathered together and like sardines packed in. I like it. Any other thoughts?
Rainbow.
You saw rainbows? The promise that comes at the end of that rainbow. Let's not forget that. God has declared that for us. Reserve that. What else? What'd you say?
God.
You saw God. You saw a desire for God? A desire for God. Look, I want to say, I'll feed you a couple of things that I think we could see as well. Maybe when we think about the Big C growing, we think about this. We think about people who are thirsty. Can you imagine what it's like to really, really be thirsty? Like to be so parched that you're like, if I don't get this, I don't know if I can go on. Imagine what it looks like when you're standing at the door with a hunger, with a longing, with a thirst, that you want what's inside because you believe that what is there can actually satisfy. Whatever that word is, yeah, it can make it so that it's no longer like that, right? Your mouth is no longer like longing for water. You have been quenched. All right, we'll go with that. What if the world lost its voice? The voice that it uses when it points the finger at the church and says, church, you didn't. Right? The only way that voice gets muted is when the church does. Right? What if the world looked and saw the church? They saw you and they saw me. We're a part of something really big. We're the small C and a big C, right? What if the church looked and saw, what if the world looked and saw you and me and all the other small C's living out the reality that the big C is meant to live out, that we are people who are indeed communicating the gospel, that we are people who are indeed running after God, that we are people who are indeed giving of ourselves, that we are more generous than we are needy, that we as a people of God are giving away everything simply because we recognize that Jesus did that first. What if the world said, I can't point and blame you for anything because what you are doing as the big C sure looks right? Those are the things that happen as growth occurs. All right, let's go a little further. Paul says, we got to go back to the beginning. He says it here in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verses 6 and 7. Just he says, so then, just as you received Jesus as Lord, just as you received Jesus as Lord. He's giving us the starting point. He's giving us the launch point. He says, go back to where it began when you received Jesus as Lord. Now, I want to talk to just a couple of us this morning. I know this doesn't fit for everybody. So if it doesn't fit for you, look who it does fit for and then learn from their story, because you can't change our stories. But for some of us, we had a season of life, a long season of life, where we were not part of the church. Where we didn't grow up in a church, or maybe we had just stepped away from the church, or whatever it was. But we had a long run where us and church didn't go together. And then there was some kind of awakening that happened. I remember one of the more profound moments that I've had since I've been here. I had a chance to talk to one of our senior members, and he said to me, he might be sitting in church wearing a red shirt, I'm not sure. But he said, you know, he said, I thought I knew who God was, and I thought I understood life. And then at age 40, I think he said, at age 40, I had this awakening. I had this revelation. I realized that I hadn't known who God was. And then I had spent 40 years thinking maybe I did, but I really didn't. And now I stepped into this new life. And he talks about kind of the old life and the new life at age 40. I'm getting close to 40. If it's going to get better, I'm excited, you know? Like, I'm excited for the story he told. But look, those of us who can remember back to when we didn't and can say now we have, we understand what Paul means when he says, go back to where it began. Just as when you received Christ, you go back to that moment. It's like Christmas morning. It's more than Christmas morning. It's everything, and yet it's more than you can explain. It changes your reality. It changes the steps you're going to take. It gives you new vision. It changes your perspective. It changes your attitude. It changes your wants. It changes your desires. It changes your longings. For some people, it changes their trajectory. It changes their careers. It changes everything because you realize that new life has been imparted. Maybe we all can't recognize that moment. Try this moment. For those who have been blessed to usher a young child into the world, remember the first time you held him or you held her? Now, this might not be true for your second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth kid, however many you've had, but just think about the first one. Just think about the first one. By the way, if you're a second child, I identify with you, all right? Just think about the first one. Just think about the first one for a minute, right? Remember when the doctor handed that baby to you and you were like, and that was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. This changes everything. I'm so in love and so clueless, and yet I know no day will ever be the same. You guys remember that moment? Do you remember that moment? For some people, that moment didn't happen in the hospital. So I'm just going to talk to those people who it didn't happen in the hospital for real quick. It happened for you when you were leaving the hospital, right? That was when the child was really entrusted to you. And you're like, there's no one going to be at home to help me with this. And you were driving home and you were like, oh, no. How is this going to go? But you knew this was a game changer. Well, Paul is simply saying to the church, hey, church, go back to the point where the game changed. Go back to the point where everything was redirected, when everything was new. Go back to that moment when you were overcome by the Spirit of God and a relationship began from there. Because when we go back to that moment, just as the moment was when we received Christ, we didn't go into that moment filled with questions and confusion. We didn't go into that moment saying, I think this is what God wants, but it's not what I want. We went into that moment saying, God, I surrender. Didn't you? Didn't you have a moment where you said, God, I give up. God, I'm not in control anymore. God, I just trust you. Go back to that moment. Live for just a second in that moment. If you get back to that moment with me, then Paul says, from that moment, continue forward. Live according to Christ going forward. Can we go back to this moment where we said, I'm coming to you, God, fully, I'm holding nothing back. I'm allowing nothing to drag me down. I'm coming right here and saying, God, it's yours. And the it is my life. And the it is everything I have. And the it is what I think. And the it is what I'm going to say. The it's what's going to fill my ears. The it's who I'm going to talk to. The it's who I'm going to surround myself with. The it's the ideology. The it is everything. God, it's yours. And then from that moment forward, when we said, God, I surrender, then we step forward and say, okay, now, Lord, I'm going to try to live. I'm going to try to live from this place of surrender. You see, when we dream about the church and we say, what is the church? Come on, look at me real quick. When we dream about the church and we say, what is the church? What does it look like for a church to really grow? I mean, it's really cool if we can pack everybody in. That's awesome. Whether it's here or whether it's every church around the globe, that's awesome. What I'm saying is this, the church that grows, the church that really, really grows is filled with people that have an unquenchable desire for God. It's filled with folks who are saying, I have a longing to be in the presence of God. And when I find myself in the presence of God, there's nothing that can satisfy quite like it does. It's filled with people who are saying, I am all about serving and loving somebody who I don't even know yet. And it's going to cost me everything to do it, but I can't wait to. Let me give it freely. Right? It's filled with the people who are longing to get into the Word of God and saying, God, the only way I can really get to know you is if I study you in this book. And as I study you in this book, I find you revealing yourself to me more and more. I see you in people as they pass by. There was a movie with Bruce Willis. It was recorded. Part of it was recorded here in Manion. Somebody help me with that movie. Anybody remember that movie? What was it? Unbreakable. I'm matched to know about that story. You should ask him personally about that someday. But there's a movie, Bruce Willis. If you haven't seen it, check it out. There's a small kid in the movie, right? Am I right? Small boy in the movie? How many people know this movie I'm talking about? Y'all need a Netflix, Google, something. Yeah, all right. So there's a movie, and I think I'm getting the movie right. I might be blending like four different movies. But there's a boy in the movie. And I'm going to give it away. I'm just going to, spoiler alert, close your ears if you want to watch a movie that came out 30 years ago and you haven't seen it yet. You've been waiting to see it. But spoiler alert. So in the movie, there's a boy kind of goes around and he's seeking for help because he's having some issues. And he has this one phrase that he says. Anybody remember this phrase? That launched two movies together? All right. So... Yeah, that's it. That's the movie I'm talking about. Sixth Sense. There you go. Thanks. But you should see both of those. You should see both of these movies. They're both good, I'm sure. All right. So just follow me anyway. The boy. I just want to focus on the boy for a minute. Forget about Bruce. All right. The boy. Sorry, Bruce. Not you. We don't want to forget you. But the boy in the movie, he has this phrase that he says. And it's a revelation at the end of the movie. He says, I see dead people. Right? Church, listen to me, because you might not take anything besides this home today. The church that grows walks around saying, I see dead people. But they don't say it as a proud moment. They say it as a moment where the heart breaks because they know the giver of life. See, the reality is, absent of a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're all dead. And when Paul says, go back to that moment, just as you received Christ, when you were a babe, when you were new, when you were in love, go back to that moment. And then from there, we can live like Christ. We can begin to take steps. We can begin to move in his direction. We can begin to say yes when we hear the proddings of the Spirit of God. But it starts with saying, I was made alive in Christ, alive for a reason, that I might grow. I want to give us some application for today's message. And so if you're somebody who's like, man, I enjoy hearing you speak, but I just need to know what to do with that going forward. Here's our quick application. I need everybody do this with me real quick. And some of you are doing it already. It's great. Everybody do this with me real quick. Go ahead, put your hands up. All right. Cross your arms, however you, just cross your arms. Not like somebody like this, like, not like this. Cross your arms. Come on. All right, shh. Some of you are like hugging yourselves. You're like, this is great. Just cross your arms. All right, you ready? You got it? All right, look down at your arms. Look at your hands. Notice where your hands are. All right, ready? Put your hands back up. Cross your arms the other way. I didn't do it. I did it the same way. Did you have to think about it in order to do it? Why? Why? Because somebody says not natural. They're used to crossing the other way. You've developed a pattern, a habit. Some of you are like, I'm done. I know that I have this pattern. Yeah, when we were down at the beach, we were having so much fun, and the day was over, and we got back to the house, and we finally got the kids to bed, and I looked at Michelle, and I said, Michelle, I don't remember anybody smacking me right there, but I had a handprint right on my arm, and I was like, who did that? You know, and the hand was too big to be the kids, and I didn't remember Michelle doing that, so I was like, I don't know who did that. And we were just sitting there, and she just started laughing at me. And she realized that the whole time I was at the beach, I had done this. And so I had just got a permanent imprint of my hand scorched in by the sun on my arm. So the next time I went to the beach, I tried to do it the other way. And I still went back to the same thing. I tried to balance it out. It wouldn't work. Look, here's the reality. Here's the reality. There are things that just become patterns for us. They're habits. They're normal ways of life. And you have developed them. You've developed some that you love, and you developed some that you wish you didn't love so much, but you've developed them. Paul says, go back to the beginning. Go back to when you received Christ, and then walk accordingly to as Christ did. Christ is going to ask you, do you need to fold your arms that way? What if Christ is asking us to reverse that? Well, you say, well, Pastor Ray, that just doesn't seem cool. Like, I got to think about that to make it happen. I know. And nobody likes breaking habits. Here's another one. Ready? Put your hands up. Fold your hands. Twiddle your thumbs. That's cool. That's cool. All right, put your hands back up. Put your other hand on top this time. Yeah, like you were. Hold on, guys. Time out on the message. We're just going to talk directly to Matt. You were here, and now you switched. You put the other hand on top. Yeah, now twiddle your thumbs. Your thumbs are like rubbing on each other. It's not as easy. Your hands just naturally want to go back. They want to go back to the normal spot. Here's why. Because when you start doing some things, they just become pattern. It becomes second nature. It just becomes what you do. Well, check this out, church, because here's the application. The church that says I want to grow. The church that says I want to be committed to the Lord. The church that says I want to be radical. I want to be a world changer. I want to be a part of the big C and what God is doing. That church says if I've got to reverse my hands, I'm going to reverse my hands. If I've got to shift my arms, I'm going to shift my arms. If the Lord calls me out, he calls me out. See, the church that says that, they give up all of their habits and their ways, and they surrender them to God, and they say, God, if you want me to take it back up, I'll take it back up. But if you want me to lay it down forever, train me something new. Train me something new. What's the application here today? It's this. Would you go home today? Would you examine three things? Number one, examine your natural, your pattern, your habit of getting into the scripture. If you don't have one, let me encourage you. Let's get a plan where we're going to get into the Word together every day for the rest of the summer. All right? Let's develop a plan. We're going to get into the Word together every day for the rest of the summer. If you don't have a natural habit and plan of getting into the Word of God, here you go. Let's get in the Word together every day for the rest of the summer. Let's see what God would do with that. Right? Number two, when you go home, examine what you're doing in terms of service. How many people like soda? Anybody? All right. Water. Anybody? Okay, if you didn't raise your hand, you just didn't want to. All right? Listen, all of those things have one thing in common. When they're sold, they're depending on somebody being a consumer. That ain't church. Church is not for consumption. It's not meant for us to sit here and consume. Being a follower of Christ is meant for us to give. Anyone who wants to follow me must take up their cross, lay down their life, give it away. Right? When you go home today, ask yourself, how am I serving? Or am I simply consuming? And then the third is going to get really personal. There are some things you don't need to ask yourself about. You already know them. They're the habits that you know God would deal with if you would let him, if you would surrender them. They're the things that you would say, man, that's not what God wants from me. Here's what it says at the end of that passage that we were reading. The last thing it says is, be rooted and built up in him, be strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and be overflowing with thankfulness. What are the patterns of your life that are robbing you of the joy of being thankful to the Father? They could be really big things. They could be really private things. But if there's something that's taking the joy of what God has done for you, the application of today's message is to surrender that to him. That might take some help. Breaking habits and chains and patterns, and especially things that have gripped us, that are holding us bondage, breaking those things are difficult. You're most likely not going to be able to muster up the strength on your own. First, depend on the Father. Second, invite somebody in. Who's walking with you in life that you're able to say to that person, hey, this is a pattern of my life that doesn't look like the Father, and I know it's not what Christ wants for me. Would you hold me accountable and help me to let go of that? That might be fear-related. That might be self-doubt driven. That might be lustful or longing desires. It could be a whole bunch of other things. And it might not even be something that in and of itself is sinful. It could just be misplaced in your life. Would you invite somebody to that deep place in your life? Would you just say, help me be accountable to lay this down? I believe that God desires for the church to grow. The same way that my first prayer when I held my son for the first time was, Lord, help me, which was directly followed with a, help me to be a father that would see this son grow, that would see him mature into all the things that I always wanted or couldn't, and all the things beyond what I understand for myself today. While I held this baby with fear and trembling, I had no doubt that God would grow him up one day. I have no doubt that God will do that with the church too. Let's pray together. Lord God, it's easy for us to sit together and to listen or to take in or to take notes or even to worship you in song. It's easy for us to do that when we're all joined together today. God, I'm praying that we would do that in about an hour when we leave this place and we go our separate ways, when we find ourselves with friends and family, when we find ourselves gathering with others. I pray, God, that we would have that same place, that same spirit of worship about us, God, because I do believe, Lord God, I believe you're proud of this local church. I believe that you are filled with joy when you are mindful of Roxborough Church here in Philadelphia. And yet I believe that in the same way that we're proud of friends and family and kids, God, I believe that there's still so much more that we know you have for us. The local church, the regional church, the national church, the global church. There's so much more. And the reason why we can say that confidently, that there's so much more, is because, Lord, as distasteful as it is to say it this way, I see dead people. I see people who are walking around day to day and maybe satisfied with what they have, but they're missing the greatest component of life. And Lord, unless I take seriously the fact that you say no one comes to the Father except through you, if I don't take that serious, then I can't take my own walk in salvation serious either. So Lord God, I walk around and I pray that we as a church would, and pray that we would walk around and we'd notice, I see people who are needing the gospel. God, in the same way we can acknowledge that, I pray that we would acknowledge that our hands would shoot up and we would would say, God, as you mature me, I am ready and willing. Use me. Sit me in an office with somebody and give me a chance to tell them why I'm excited for what God has done. Put me on a train next to somebody who's got questions of life and give me that moment to answer. The next time I board a plane and I look around and I see folks who are moving from one place to another, from job to job, from day to day, I pray that I be able to speak something of life that is not transitional, but that is eternal. And God, when I get on the phone with the people who I love the most, I pray that my voice would be a voice that speaks truth to them, that brings people out of the wilderness. God, as we grow and as we grow up, would you do something beyond our dreams? Would you declare people from death to life? That's our prayer, in part for the 1.53, but not just for our city. We pray that prayer around the world. In Jesus' name.